What a great psalm. Take your Bible tonight, please, as we can continue our study in the book of Proverbs, and turn over to chapter number 4. Proverbs, chapter number 4. Boy, that was an exciting song to sing. I enjoyed that. Proverbs, chapter number 4 tonight. Proverbs, chapter number 4. We've been studying the book of Proverbs. We've learned some multiple things that God has for us in looking at life from God's point of view. If this is new to you, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to the first couple recordings on the book of Proverbs, the introduction, the first 3 weeks of introduction. You can go to the website, lbccleveland.com, and listen to those. I promise you those will be helpful, because it's going to give you words and definitions of words that are repeated over and over again. We're going to see those here even tonight. And in chapter number 4, we find that chapter number 4 is broken down into 5 separate sections. How far we'll get tonight, I'm not sure. But we're going to launch out tonight. We're going to start with verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring honor, bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ointment of grace, a crown of glory shall be delivered to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, for the years of thy life shall be many. We're going to stop reading there tonight. And I want to talk to you on chapter number 4, a father speaking to a son. Almost like it's an inside conversation. We get to be a part of it and hear, eavesdrop a little bit, if you will, into what God is telling his son, what God is using to teach us about what he would say to you if he could just sit each of us down and talk to us one by one. I believe these are the things he would tell us. Father, I ask now that you meet with us. Thank you for your love for us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Help us to follow your truth, not a man's idea, not a man's direction, not a religion or a fad, but you. So Holy Spirit, we depend on you to teach us your truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We saw 2 words over and over again in our reading. The first word was wisdom. So let's go back to our definitions for just a minute. Let's look at the definition of the word wisdom. To look at life from God's point of view. Also to know oneself, one's God, and our neighbors. God wants us to know ourselves. He wants us to know what He thinks about us. Listen, I talked to a man this week, and I had a chance to lead him to Christ, because here's what he said. He said, I don't think I'm worthy enough to approach God. I understand that. I understand that. But I said, but God loves you as His child. He says, my favorite kind of praying to do is when I just pray to God, ask Him to forgive me of my sins, and I don't ask Him for anything. And I said, but that's not how you'd raise your child. You wouldn't raise your child just to come to you and apologize to you for anything they've ever done. That's not what is pleasing to the parent. What's pleasing to the parent is when that child just comes and talks to you, spends time with you, says, I love you. And if they have a need, they tell you about it. And you want to hear the details of it. You may already have known that that need was there. You may have already had the answer for that need that's there. But they need to talk to you, spend time with you, enjoy speaking with you. He said, I've never heard that before. And so I showed him how he could have a personal one-on-one father-son relationship with God Himself. And by the way, you who are saved here tonight, me, you, we know Christ is our Savior, heaven is our home, and God is our Daddy. He's not some God out there in whom I have to be afraid of. He's my Dad. He's my Abba, Father. And I get to come to Him. I love to tell the story. My uncle was on John F. Kennedy's presidential cabinet. And they were in the middle of the missile crisis. And suddenly the Oval Office door is thrown open. And in comes jumping, bobbing, running to and fro, if you will, bounding through the room, little John John as he comes into the room. He runs across the room, leaps in the air, lands on the lap of his father who's sitting in a rocking chair. He starts to talk into his daddy and maybe not fully understanding when he's just a little boy, little toddler, just 2 or 3 years old, just talking up a storm to his dad. And one of the cabinet members got offended and said, we need to get that boy out of here. We got something very important to discuss. And the president, Kennedy at that moment, said, no. Either, listen, this is my son. He can come in here anytime he wants. I'm his daddy. And this may be the Oval Office, but this is the office of his daddy. And he's welcome here anytime. Now, if you don't shut up, you can leave. I love that. I love that because that's how my Heavenly Father is. No matter how busy my Father is, no matter what crisis is going on somewhere in the world, and there's always a crisis somewhere, my Heavenly Father is never too busy for me. I don't know that I agree with everything politically that President Kennedy did, but I love the fact that he took time for his son. Because God takes care and takes time for this, me, his son, and you. And wisdom is looking at life from His point of view and getting to know our relationship with Him and how He looks at us. He doesn't look at us as some kind of criminal. He looks at us as His child. Someone whom He loves dearly. And loves to have come sitting in our lap, in His lap, and throw our arms around His neck and hug Him and tell Him everything that's going on in our life. Just spending time with Dad. My parents have been gone now for many years. And I told a man this week, I told that same gentleman, what I would give just to have 5 minutes with my dad. Just 5 minutes. I would give everything I could. Because that 5 minutes would be so valuable to me. Because I don't get any time with him now. I'm sure my wife would feel the same way about her dad. And those of you who have lost your loved ones, your father, your mother, I'm sure you'd give whatever you could just to spend a little bit of time with them. Because it's just a miraculous, wonderful thing when we stop and think about a relationship between a father and a son. And so he tells us, he wants us to get to know how he thinks of us. And the more we get to know him and how he thinks and how he thinks about us, then how we should think about him, he teaches us then how to treat other people. That's what the word wisdom means. The word wisdom means all of that. So that's what the word wisdom... Now there was another word we saw, the word knowledge. Okay? Let's look in verse chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of the Father, and obtain unto understanding. That word understanding is very important as well. Understanding, we learned, means to apply the view of God. What's the view of God? Wisdom. To apply the view of God, to comprehend it. In other words, for us to completely accept, comprehend it, and then to accept it. Sometimes we know God's view, we follow, we know what to do with God's view, but we don't accept it. We comprehend it, but we just don't want to do it. And that's not wise. That's being foolish, because we know it. So he tells us then that we need to attain understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. So we see that he wants us to get wisdom and understanding. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. What is understanding? Let me give you the definition of the word understanding again. To apply the view of God, to comprehend it, and to accept it. So the two run hand in hand then, don't they? Wisdom and understanding. Because wisdom is getting to understand how God thinks about things. God's view of the world. God's view of life. God's view of our purpose. God's view of the world. God's view of the earth. It's very different than what the world has taught us. And God's view of ourself, which is very different than what religion teaches us. And God's view of how we're supposed to treat others is very different than what we've learned growing up. And then he tells us that we need to understand it by applying that view, fully comprehending what he's expecting us to do, and then to do it or to apply it. So let's look at in detail now. The father speaking to his child here in verse 4. He says these are things you must have. You've got to have these things. Here, ye children, the instruction of the father, and attend to know understanding. That word attend is telling us things that you must have. Pay attention. This is very important. This is something you must have if you're going to survive in life. If you're going to walk here on this earth, you need to do these things. You need to learn these things. God wants His Son to be successful in everything He does. And the only way for Him to be successful in everything He does is for us to apply what God's view is. So in verses 1 through 4, He says, number 1, in verse number 2, for I give you good doctrine, and forsake not ye my law. So He wants to give us doctrine. Doctrine is the principal beliefs. Doctrines are principal beliefs. For example, principal belief. Jesus was sinless. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. Those are doctrines. Okay? The doctrine of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. So we cannot be good enough to go to heaven. Listen, there's nothing you and I can do to make us go to heaven. There's no good you can do enough to go to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I can't get myself saved, and I cannot maintain my salvation by any work I do. It's all by grace and faith. Now you can have grace and not have faith and you're not saved. But it's grace and faith. Grace is something that means, grace means unmerited favor, something I don't deserve. So God's giving us an opportunity to have something we don't deserve. What is it? It's the gift. What is that gift? The death, burial of Jesus Christ. For our death, for our burial, for our resurrection, for the sin that we've committed. Him taking our sins upon Himself. That's what He's offering by grace. We must accept it by faith, not by works. By faith, putting our trust in Him for this purpose. So I can't save me. Only He can save me. So He's saying, that's a doctrine. Those are doctrines. The doctrine that Jesus died for the sins of every one of the sins that we could commit. That's a doctrine. Those are doctrines. The Bible is the Word of God. That's a doctrine. Okay? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a doctrine. Those are teachings. What's a doctrine? The principal beliefs that God has given us. So He's telling us here that wisdom and understanding are good doctrine. Good principal beliefs that we need to have in our life. So understanding then is we're to understand the doctrine and apply this view of God and comprehend it and accept it. That means, as much as the world is going to try and religion tries to force us to believe that we have to be good enough to go to heaven, that's not true. Just not true. I don't care who says it. I don't care if every Baptist preacher in America stands in their pulpit on Sunday morning and says, you must work to get to heaven, or you must do this and this and act like this to go to heaven. I don't care. I don't care if the Pope stands up on Sunday morning and all the religious leaders of all the world stand up on Sunday morning and say, this is what you must do. None of that changes God's Word. Because it's not man's power. It's God's power. That's what doctrine is. And He says that we need to apply God's view. God's doctrine and good doctrine brings some things for us. Are you ready? They bring physical boundaries. When we start to apply God's doctrine, they bring some boundaries to our life. Listen, unsaved, we have no boundaries. We do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to go, and there are consequences for that, but we don't have boundaries. When I get saved, I start to get boundaries in my life. I start to read the Word of God. I start to get understanding. I start to get good doctrine. I start to get wisdom looking at life from God's point of view. And then they start to teach me, okay, I need to set this boundary here. This is what this boundary needs. All right, let's take a boundary. All right, here's a boundary. I don't need to get drunk. That's a boundary. Why? Because I'd rather be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit than drunk, which is filled with some kind of spirit anyway. We call it that spirit, don't we? Okay. Why? Because that's not good for me. That's not good for me. I'm going to do foolish things. All right? So, there's a boundary there that God set there before. How about this? A boundary of watching what we say. Not using the Lord's name in vain. Swearing or cussing. Or how about gossip? Boundaries that come with the tongue. How about encouraging people instead of discouraging people? Boundaries that come with the tongue. Amen? Those are all boundaries that God gives us that we need to follow, that we learn from good doctrine. Those are physical boundaries, real boundaries that we need to put in our life. Amen? So those boundaries then come from the Word of God. As I read the Word of God, then I start to get this wisdom, this understanding. I start to comprehend it, and then I can start applying it. When I first got saved, I didn't know that there was any reason not to do a bunch of stuff. But the more I read God's Word, the more I said, oh, God doesn't like that, and I don't want to interfere with my relationship with Him, so I want to make sure I don't do things that are against what God wants me to do. So I was careful of what I thought. And we need to be careful of how we think. I learned that's a physical boundary. I had to be careful with what I looked at. Listen, just because it's out there doesn't mean you got to look at it. There's a lot of things on TV we ought not to be watching. There's a lot of things in movies we ought not to be watching. There's a lot of things that go on in life that we ought to take our eyes off of immediately as soon as we see them go, oh man, I can't look at that anymore. Why? Because they're bad for us. Those are boundaries. But I don't know those boundaries just because I get saved. I know those boundaries because I start to read the Word of God. I start to see life from God's perspective. I start to understand it. Then I kind of accept it and apply it then to my life. Alright? So He gives us something else. He gives us spiritual boundaries. Spiritual boundaries. I didn't have any spiritual boundaries before I got saved. I could believe in absolutely anything I wanted to, but God says there's some things that I need to stay away from spiritually. I need to stay away from some things spiritually. What do you mean by that? Well, spiritual boundaries. Let's just put it this way. We ought to be in church every opportunity we have to be in church. Why? Because forsaking not the gathering together of ourselves as a manner of some is. So some people, before I got saved, I didn't need to go to church. I didn't want to go to church. But God said, listen, you need to go to church. You need to have fellowship. You need to hear the Word of God preached so that I can encourage you to go out and do some things in your life that will change your life where you become more profitable for you and for me. So I need to go to church. That's a spiritual boundary. How about this? Telling other people the gospel message. Giving out the message of salvation. That's a spiritual boundary. I never had that responsibility before. I got saved and I started to realize, hey, the angels aren't telling anybody. That's not their job. It's my job. It's your job. God gave us a great commission in the New Testament to go out and tell all the world the gospel message. So listen, Billy Sunday, who was a great preacher back in the beginning of the last century, is not here anymore. He can't reach anybody here. D.L. Moody, a great preacher in the late in the 1800s, isn't here anymore to give out the gospel message. It's now my time. It's now your time. All the people that have lived in the past, Paul's not here anymore. Peter's not here anymore. The apostles aren't here anymore. It's our job now to reach out and touch the generation whom we live with. Because if we don't reach to that generation, who's going to reach them? No one. So then it's our responsibility to set some spiritual boundaries in our life to give the gospel message out. Not only that, but to live in such a way that people would believe that gospel message. Because it's changed our life. There's so many things that God's changed in my life since I've been saved. And there's so much more that yet needs to be changed in my life as I continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of His truth, as I get more wisdom and I start to comprehend that wisdom and I start to apply that wisdom and I accept that wisdom as the way God wants me to be. So there's physical boundaries. There's spiritual boundaries that I get through doctrine. How about this? Mental boundaries. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So God's telling us that we need to change the way we think. The way I thought before was, before I was saved, was if somebody does me wrong, get them before they can get you again. Get even. In fact, get over even. Get one up on them. Get them before they can get you. Hate those that hate you, but hate them more than they hate you. You know, those are the kind of things we learn before we get saved. But God says our mind needs to be changed some. The way I think needs to change. Now listen, just because you're saved doesn't mean that mind's going to change. That mind has to be changed through the Word of God. It's the Word of God. How can this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, if I have no idea what was in the mind of Christ Jesus? So God gave us His Word. Do we still have the Bible today? Do you know how long we've had the Bible in the world? Yet many Christians have it in their home, but don't take time at home to read it. We don't take the time at home to dissect it, to spend time with it every day. It doesn't become a vital part of our life. And yet if we'll make it a vital part of our life, that's where the power comes to change our life. It doesn't come just because we're saved. Heaven comes just because we're saved. That's just one thing. Now, if we're going to have a changed life, then we've got to get to know more about our great Savior, our great God. And His mind is different. He says, love your enemies. That's a real different concept, isn't it? It's easy to love those who love you. It's very difficult to love those who hate you. How about those that misunderstand you and abuse you? It's very difficult to love them. Those that have hurt you on purpose, it's hard to love them. But God tells us to love them. That doesn't mean you have to allow them to dictate things in your life. That's not what love is. Love isn't giving somebody dictatorial power of your life. Love means to care about. Love is not something we feel. Love is a decision we make. I make a decision to love someone. God doesn't love us because He loves us emotionally. God loves us because He chose to love us. He said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. He chose us. He chooses His people. He chose mankind. Why did He choose man and not choose the angels? I don't know. But when I start to get wisdom, I get good doctrine. Where does a good doctrine come from? God's Word. From God's point of view. God's direction. As I take that wisdom, I start to apply it to my life. That's understanding. And I accept it. And I apply it. And I live by it. And that puts some physical boundaries in my life. That puts some spiritual boundaries in my life. And that puts some mental boundaries in my life. And to be honest with you, we've run out of time for the boundaries of our lives tonight. And so this is just the beginning of some good things that are in chapter number 4 of the book of Proverbs. But there's some wonderful truths here. Let's just read the first few verses again. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. Whose law are we talking about? God's law. What's His law? His Word. So He's telling us that it's very important here that we don't forsake what He's given us. We can be saved on our way to heaven and not read our Bibles. And what have we done? We have forsaken His law or His Word. When I forsake His law or His Word, I lose my peace, I lose my joy, I lose my understanding. I constantly have searching questions. It's easy for the devil to blow something into my life and cause all sorts of havoc and confusion. Why? Because I don't have His Word. So I don't become established. The more I become established in the Lord, the more I understand what to do and where He wants me to go and how He wants me to go. And so this is His Father, our Father talking to you and me. I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my Father's son. Kind of like Jesus is His Father's son, isn't it? Tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. There it is again. The importance of the Word of God. Keep my commandments. Notice what it says. And live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. So we see some wonderful things here in chapter 4. We'll learn more next week. I think there's a good introduction to this chapter because there's so many things He's going to give us that we can learn just from His Word so that you and I can have the prosperous life that He intends for us. Again, I love the way that God gives it to us. It's a Father speaking to His child. And it's our Heavenly Father just chatting with you and me. Here's what I have for you. And here's how it could change your life if you accept it, comprehend it, and live by it. What a great God we have. Father, I thank You now for what we've learned. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that You'd make